Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
There's three things there. I don't believe it's fate accompli with Vrabel and the Patriots. I think he's absolutely the leading candidate. He is the logical choice, and I think it probably would be a surprise if it didn't work out. But you could go through any number of coaching searches over time and say, well, Josh McDaniels is supposed to get the Colts job. Bill Belichick is supposed to get the Jets job. Things happen, and there's a lot of interest in Mike. Do I think that the Patriots hold a tremendous amount of appeal to him? Yes. Do I think he to them? Yes. Is it logical? Of course. All those things are true. And in the end, it probably gets done. But I don't think it's done. I still think there are steps to go through. There's a process that has to be followed. So, again, that's kind of where we're at. I don't think it's going to be a quick resolution this week. I don't expect that. Maybe I'm going to be wrong. And that's where I see things as we sit here today, Wednesday afternoon.
That was Adam Schefter yesterday on Wednesday afternoon on WEEI Afternoons. You can check it out. The full interview on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss out on a thing from WEEI. Also a reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. No updates on the Vrabel interview, which is ongoing, we think.
Do we get a graphic yet? Do you think he'll have a graphic on his own? Or do they wait till it's somebody else?
It's not Pep Hamilton,
Byron Leftwich,
Vrabel, no. All three of them now split into thirds. No. I'm assuming we get our own graphic like the Bears did last night with Vrabel. Yeah.
The Patriots have not tweeted out anything as it relates to Mike Vrabel yet.
So no update yet, which I find somewhat interesting. Greg thinks it was happening in the Seaport today. I was listening to Greg talking about that on my drive-in today. He would know.
Yep.
Plugged-in man.
Sure.
Throughout town. So I'm curious if we start to get any info trickling in. And that means, you know, from the local beat writers, local news, or whether that comes from the national level, the Schefters, the rap sheets, etc. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. But just know, Vrabel is here. He's interviewing today. Ben Johnson is interviewing tomorrow. They've requested Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator from the Lions. They didn't bother to request until Wednesday. And we'll see if he has time to squeeze that into his schedule. Feels like the Patriots are scrambling and trying to make things look a little better after the sham interviews with Leftwich and Pep Hamilton earlier this week. I thought Courtney had a good take if you want Vrabel. I don't want Vrabel, so I disagree with it. But if you want Vrabel, she made a great point. Don't let him leave.
Yeah,
don't let him leave Boston. Don't let him get on a plane. Don't give him the option to go to Vegas and get wooed by Tom Brady. If you want Vrabel, get it done.
I think this is a better situation than the Raiders, but I also think there is a chance that Tom Brady, Richard Seymour could convince him that the Raiders would be a great spot for him and they could all together help turn that franchise around. I think that'd be pretty appealing. Much more appealing than the Jets or the Bears or some of these other interviews that Vrabel did. Because I felt like all along it's a done deal with the Patriots. I don't think if you let him go, he's necessarily going to definitely take another job. But the Raiders thing throws like a curveball into this. I'd be disappointed as a Ben Johnson fan or even just a straight up fan of you didn't interview anybody last year. Interview a bunch of guys this year. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you're surprised by something. Maybe you can implement something into your system going forward. Instead of having two sham interviews, Vrabel, then you hire Vrabel. Like, what? That's just like Mayo last year, essentially.
Well, and I think the reason Schefter made it clear that Vrabel's the favorite, but it's not done. The Crafts are worried about any blowback from the league or investigation by the league or possible penalties from the league, i.e. lost draft picks and things for not going through a real process.
I think the best thing that Robert Kraft did during his press conference was bite his tongue when somebody asked him specifically about Vrabel.
Did he?
Well, like, as much as he could have,
yeah,
I think.
Fair.
He was like, I mean, his line was about, you know, we have some impressive people coming
everybody.
In. He didn't name any of them. He didn't know who any of them are or whatever. It doesn't matter because it's only going to be Vrabel. I bet he didn't even talk to those other two guys. But it was kind of funny, too, where they put out, oh, they're interested in Ben Johnson. Then we got that weird tweet about Leftwich and Hamilton, and then you're like, oh, and Vrabel. Like, oh, yeah, Vrabel.
So I was going to ask. So I think we know Leftwich and Pep Hamilton, and it's a shame. I mean, the Patriots didn't want to interview real candidates to satisfy the Rooney Rule. That's on them. They got to square that away. They got to live with that. And I think a lot of people have called them out, and they're catching heat for it, and it's why they have their fake late request with Aaron Glenn. I think that's a fake late request with Aaron Glenn. So they got to live with that. They got to square that away. That's on them. But do you make anything of Vrabel interviewing before Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson's scheduled to interview tomorrow. Do you make anything of the order there?
So some of it does have to do with Ben Johnson's availability. He's on a team that is on a bye. They only have a few days in which they can do it. So I don't make a ton out of that. I think it was more calculated to interview Leftwich and Hamilton first, and then therefore you can just hire Vrabel. Or in this pipe dream of mine, you talk to Ben Johnson tomorrow and say that he's going to be your guy, right? Like that's sort of what I'm hoping for. But this way you get those guys out of the way who were both available. You didn't have to ask to request. They're not even in football, right? So you didn't have to ask to request an interview and all that stuff. You were able to bring them right in 20 minutes, probably in and out. Maybe they were told, yeah, you have a 60-second plan like Keith and Jones? Like, go ahead. Give me your 60-second plan. Then
put them on the clock, Jonathan.
Then we'll get you a lunch, and then we'll call it a day. But no, I think this has more to do with Vrabel, and they can hire him. Because at the time, they might have speculated that the Raiders' job was going to be open. But when they were doing all this stuff and lining it up, they didn't know because the Raiders took a couple days.
Good point. So Schefter's not the only one to say it's not a done deal. You know, Curran said this early in the week, it'd be way, way, way presumptuous or way, way, way too early to assume that it's a done deal with Vrabel. Schefter yesterday, I think, was doing some of that with WEEI Afternoons. Graziano and Fowler at ESPN went through all the vacancies today, what they're hearing on the vacancies, okay? And what they're hearing on the Patriots is that a lot of people's first instinct is to connect Titans coach Mike Vrabel with the Pats, which makes sense. He's in the Pats Hall of Fame for his contributions as a player. He retains ties to ownership. But I wouldn't rule out Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson.
Hell yeah.
For this job at all. He says this job is going to be of real interest to top offensive candidates. He details May and the cap space and the high draft pick and all the stuff we've been talking about.
You have May. The other two things are we can get to another time.
Right.
Like, have May. The other two things, like, okay.
You could have had one. You have four. You have cap space. Will they use it? Fair point. I wouldn't be surprised to see former Pats defensive coordinator Brian Flores get a look here either. Though he said Tuesday he has yet to hear from New England. So they haven't put in a request for him yet, huh?
No.
Huh.
Weird.
Oh, super weird.
Because, like, you and I and there are others that want to cut ties from anything Belichick tree or even Patriots related, they're obviously not with Mike Vrabel. So wouldn't Brian Flores make a ton of sense?
One would think.
Okay.
But no, Keith. Not Brian Flores.
He's coaching
not
a good
Aaron
defense
Glenn.
Right now.
Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, who's going to be a head coach
Leftwich.
Sooner, Byron Leftwich or Brian Flores? They're close.
I heard Breer, I think, on Early Edition last night saying those guys are going to struggle to get, like, jobs in the NFL. Never mind head coaching jobs. Those guys would struggle to get coordinator jobs again.
Yeah, it's rough.
Jeremy Fowler writes, this is a job with sneaky good interest. It's become clear that synergy with the GM and internal alignment will be important for Ben Johnson. We played you the clip from Burt Breer back in December. Leading up to a Thursday night game, I think, between the Lions and the Vikings about how Ben Johnson was going to be picky and choosy and he needed alignment with the front office. Fowler writes, Executive Vice President of Player Personnel Elliot Wolf is someone who could get along with Johnson, and I could see the pairing working. Johnson's a member of the Wolfpack, an honorary member of the Wolfpack?
No, I don't think so. Although it got pretty muddy there at the end. Everybody was in the Wolfpack. Everybody was in the NWO. But I think Ben Johnson, like, I don't know. Is that something you say, like, right now? I mean, once you sit down and have the interview, and then also, like, what's the availability of any of his guys? Like, if they're willing to move there, like, I think you could probably talk Robert Kraft into that.
So Johnson will interview on Friday, Fowler details. They're hearing more on the coordinator position potentially with Vrabel, but Ben Johnson, Keith, interesting name.
Sure is.
If you were coming up with a plan to say, I don't know, fix the Patriots coaching staff and front office, would Ben Johnson be on your list if you're out there driving around? You can weigh in with your own plans. We're going to put you guys on the clock. 30 seconds.
30 seconds. And
who do you want to hire? Who do you think the Patriots should hire? Your Robert Kraft. Make your moves. You'll have 30 seconds to do it.
Don't swear.
And
I don't think we should have to
caveat,
say
good caveat, Keith.
We ran into a little bit of an issue earlier in the program where we had to dump some of your 30-second plans.
Yeah, multiple plans.
Multiple plans because of the cussing.
Multiple teams, more than one.
So don't
We're calling
that.
Bill Belichick. Multiple calls had to be dumped.
Also, this opens up the Whiner app. On the Odyssey
Good
app.
Good point, Keith.
The Greg Hill Show was using it earlier this week, where if maybe you're afraid you're going to cuss,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're not, you don't want to go on live.
You can do a few takes.
Send us your best take.
Then you go back on the app and start over again. Yeah.
So we'll take those two.
So on the Odyssey app, click on the microphone, the Whiner app, as we like to call it. I don't think it's been done before in radio.
I don't think so.
If it has, I've never heard it.
Nope.
And so that's a good place to do it. You can condense it to 30 seconds. We'll put you on the clock. If you miss Keith's plan and my plan earlier today to fix the Patriots, 60 seconds. We're giving ourselves a little more leeway.
Yeah.
Let's replay him here. Nick, can we play Keith first? Because Keith is right about this the last time we went around.
It's people like the last one.
Yeah. Recency bias. I need all the recency bias I can get with my plan. So let's hear Keith's plan first. Put him on the clock.
All right, my head coach, easy, Ben Johnson. You're talking to him tomorrow. You hire him tomorrow. He comes in here. You team him up with Drake May. You have a top 10 offense next year, and then you're in the top 5 for offenses years after that. He, to me, is a no-brainer. To help him out, I bring in Tanner Engstrom as the offensive coordinator. He's currently the passing game coordinator with the Detroit Lions. So you now have two guys that can help mold this entire offense into the new wave of the future, a very bright future here in New England. I also asked Alex Van Pelt if he wants to stay on and coach the quarterbacks. If yes, great. If not, see you later. We got Ben Johnson and Tanner Engstrom. The one thing I do agree with you, Jones, is Ray Agnew, assistant GM for the Detroit Lions. All they do is draft Pro Bowlers, so I bring him in to draft guys. Elliot Wolf can take a hike. Ray Agnew's son is a scout with the Jets, which would allow you to have a connection with Robert Saleh, who is going to be my defensive coordinator. You talk him into it. He runs and takes over the entire defense, and it's a head coach experience. Oh, Darren Rizzi for special teams. The minute comes at you fast.
It does.
I had a lot more stuff in there, but that was pretty. That's the staff. I got a new GM. I have all new coaches. The only one I would consider retaining is Alex Van Pelt. I don't know if you'd want to do that because he would no longer be offensive coordinator. He'd just be QB's coach.
Okay. So that was Rich Keefe's plan in 60 seconds to fix the Patriots coaching staff and front office. Let's put me on the clock. Okay. Here's my plan to fix the Patriots front office and coaching staff. I'm trading for Kevin O'Connell. 2026 first round pick. You've spent first rounders before for Bill Belichick. So it's not that steep. He's 34-17, second playoff appearance. His offense has been top 10 twice since he's been head coach of the Vikings. I'm trading for him. He's calling his own plays, which means I'm keeping Alex Van Pelt. That's right. You're the offensive coordinator in name only. Really, you're the quarterback coach. Keep working with your quarterbacks, plural, Drake May and Joe Milton. I like the work there. Keep it going. Then I'm going to look at who I like who plays defense. I like the Broncos defense. I've mentioned Jim Leonard before, former Jets safety. He's their DB coach. They have Patrick Surtain in Denver. You have Christian Gonzalez. They're third in points allowed. Maybe he can mirror that. I'm going to the Lions. I like how they draft. You've heard this before. Ray Agnew, assistant GM, former Patriots D lineman. I'm going to hire him to draft here in New England, which means Elliot Wolf, I'm sorry, you're out. I'm going to stuff him in a locker somewhere where I don't have to look at Elliot Wolf. So it's
wow.
Does sneak up on. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, the punctuation there at the end.
Good.
Yeah, some good plans. And some of the calls that we took that did not cuss, a lot of them had Robert Saleh.
Yes.
Head coaches, meanwhile, were a little bit more mixed. We had a Liam Cohen in there. Mm-hmm. We had a Mike Vrabel, obviously, in there.
We had a couple player suggestions, too. It's like, go get Tyreek Hill. Go get T. Higgins. I thought you were going for, when you brought up the Jets connection to Ray Agnew's son, Ray Agnew III.
Yeah, Ray Agnew III.
Who I guess is working for the Jets. Ray Agnew, the assistant GM in Detroit.
RA3.
I thought you were going to go to a Garrett Wilson level and say, well, you're coming from the Jets. You got a connection. Bring him over.
Yeah.
But I guess that was, we were trying to stick to fixing just the coaching staff.
I was doing the staff there.
Front office.
But I think with Ray Agnew, I mean, you look at what the Lions have done. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, and I just, this is instructive to Robert, if you're out there listening in the Seaport. What I would do is look at organizations that have drafted well and pick a personnel guy from there. And I would look at coaching staffs where I say, boy, that's either a guy who's done it or a team that is well coached with a good scheme. And I would draw from that. That is not what Robert is doing.
No.
Robert is picking out guys who used to play here or that he has a direct connection to. And or in the case of Elliot Wolf from the Cleveland Browns, which is not what I would have been doing. That's not the way I would build it. I would you're basically making it Detroit East.
Yeah.
Which I think that's a great plan.
And then surround a new head coach, because a lot of people have concerns now with rookie head coaches because of how poorly it went with Gerard Mayo. So then surround him with veteran guys. And that's why I even threw in, not even as a joke, throw in Darren Rizzi as the special teams coordinator.
I left out special teams coordinator. I like that.
Throw him in there. He's got head coaching experience. He's a veteran special teams coordinator. So it's certainly not day one on the job for him. If it's somebody like Robert Saleh, even the Flus, even Matt Eberflus, you bring him in. I know he sounds like a joke, but just because you're a joke head coach doesn't mean you're a great coordinator. In fact, you became a head coach because you were a really good coordinator.
You brought up Wade Phillips and Sean McVay before. Yeah. Wade Phillips is like the perfect example.
I don't want son of bum coaching my team as a head coach.
Bad coach, but great defensive coordinator.
Awesome coordinator. And I think there are some other guys, and it's funny, they might get... So Steve Spagnuolo is a good example. He's getting more interviews this time around because he's been coaching his tail off with these defenses. So he's going to get a sniff, but I don't think you want him as your head coach. Same with like Vance Joseph.
No, he should.
I know
get
he was
job.
Having the time of his life, but
Joseph should get a job. I suggested his defensive backs coach because I don't think he's going to take a lateral move.
No, he won't. Yeah,
but
no.
Spagnuolo should get another job. Vance Joseph should get another job. I agree. I don't know that I feel the greatest about them, but they deserve second chances.
But those guys are more important for Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. If you do hire Mike Vrabel, the experience of the coordinators aren't as important to me as just the overall talent. And then that's where everybody goes down like, who's his offensive coordinator going to be? And if it's some of the names that have been thrown out there, like, that leaves a lot to be desired.
Notice none of us went with Mike Vrabel.
No.
Who is interviewing today. Ben Johnson tomorrow. That's Keefe's pick. I'm giving up the first rounder for Kevin O'Connell. He not only has he done it before, which Vrabel has.
Yeah.
He's doing it at a higher level, I think, than Vrabel. And he's doing it right now. It would cost you a first-round pick, but Kraft's shown the willingness to do that.
What do you think the percentage is? Not to throw a poll out there, but what's the percentage? I think they updated it like a couple days ago. I forget if it was might have been Hart or maybe it was Curran Hart.
Well, Andy Hart definitely did one. Curran did one as well. They were both in the mid to high 50s.
But Johnson was closer to Vrabel than I thought.
Yeah, he was like mid to low 40s. Yeah,
I would have assumed Vrabel was 75%. That would have been my guess. Like both Greg and Courtney in the morning want Vrabel.
I bet if you did it again today, Vrabel would be polling higher than a couple of days ago.
Because
I think people just assume it's going to happen. Well, so notice neither of us had that. You can weigh in on the phones with all your plans. We'll put you on the clock. 617-779-7937. Or, as Keith suggested, the Odyssey app, the Weiner app.
You get in there.
Click on the microphone. You can record it. That way you can edit yourself. Now, Keith, we're going to give because we're forgiving people. And we have giant hearts.
Sure we do.
You got to make up for other things with giant hearts.
Big so personality. We can make you laugh.
We are going to give Sean in Canada a second chance to go on the clock. He cursed earlier. We had to dump it. He's called back. Sean in Canada, you're up. Go and don't swear.
I will not swear. I'm so sorry, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep it very simple. I got head coach Mike Vrabel. I have head coach Mike Vrabel. I believe that contract is already done and in Robert's desk. I think Josh McDaniels comes with him. And I would like to keep Alex Van Pelt as my quarterback coach, give him a pay hike. Robert Saleh would be my defensive coordinator, but I think he's going to go to the 49ers.
I was going to say, I think we had to be getting close to 30 seconds
right.
there.
Okay, so he is a Vrabel guy.
He is a Vrabel guy. We're going to get to McDaniels later on in the
Vrabel,
hour.
Vrabel, McDaniels,
but McDaniels
Saleh
is starting to get attached to Vrabel. A lot of people like your Saleh plan.
Robert Saleh, maybe becoming too popular.
I do think.
But they don't like it anymore.
I do think what he said there right at the tail end, Keith, is right. I think Saleh, most feel he's going to San Francisco. That doesn't mean the Patriots couldn't get him or it wouldn't be a good hire. But
I
think most feel he's going back to San Francisco. They blew out their D coordinator after a year. It was
They've had 3 or 4
I was gonna say,
years.
It was Steve. Well, D'Amico Ryans left to take the Texans job. Then it was Steve Wilkes, I think, for a year. He got fired. Last year it was Nick Sorensen. Is that the name? Something Sorensen.
Yeah, Nick Sorensen.
He got fired after a year. I think most assume Saleh's going to slide in there, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't be a good fit here. You couldn't hire him here.
Yeah. Notice there's a lot of other people's fault there and not Kyle Shanahan's.
Well,
not sticking to Kyle Shanahan.
That's true. We did have somebody suggest earlier today
for Shanahan.
Yeah, we're talking about trading for O'Connell, which I think would be a home run. Trade for Shanahan, that's been brought up that Shanahan could be available or like the Bears would think about calling about Kyle Shanahan. You know, my guess is that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Shanahan's been eliminated from the postseason. You know, O'Connell's still coaching. O'Connell's going into a lame duck year. That's a far-fetched one, but I think that would be a home run. And it would be hard to pick apart unless you really missed the future first round pick.
Yeah.
That'd be a hard one to pick apart. He's successful right now with Sam Darnold.
No, that's true. Well, Mike Tomlin was another name that got thrown out
Schefter
there as a
brought
possible trade, which is wild. He's been in Pittsburgh forever.
Rank them. Shanahan, O'Connell, Tomlin, if you were going to make a trade for an existing coach.
O'Connell won.
Yep.
Shanahan?
I would go Tomlin over Shanahan, but I would have O'Connell won.
Tomlin probably has the highest floor out of all those guys and the lowest ceiling. I feel like Tomlin, like, every year wins 9-10 games, and then you're like, all right. I mean, lose this weekend, you're going to be done.
Shanahan
gets to the Super Bowl and loses.
Shanahan has higher. Well, yeah, but what did he win this year? 7 games?
I think I would rather. This year he's not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I just think Drake May is so incredibly valuable. I just think Drake May would be better hands with one of those other two guys.
Yeah. You got to do better than Arthur Smith for your play caller, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Similar situation to Vrabel there. So, your 30-second plans to fix the Patriots. 617-779-7937. We'll get more into any other candidates beyond Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. Patriots have interest in Aaron Glenn. Why is that? And is it real interest? It certainly doesn't feel that way.
The reporting is that the Crafts want to get this done quickly. How quickly do you think that's going to be?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that quick. I think there's going to be some steps and interviews to go through here. I'm sure people think that it could get done 24 hours from now, 48 hours. That would surprise me. Now, we'll see where it goes and we'll see what happens, but I don't think it's going to move that quickly.
That was Adam Schefter yesterday with WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. He joins him every Wednesday at 3:45. Topical day yesterday.
Sure was.
He says, yeah, it's not going to go quickly.
All right.
Okay. I think he's
Robert Kraft said he wanted to go quickly at his press conference. Like, we move quick.
I think he's doing the Crafts a solid. I think he's doing them a favor because a lot of eyeballs are on this now, and I think antennas are up throughout the league. You hear Breer going off on them on TV the other night?
No, what did he say?
Early edition. He was basically like, the Patriots haven't done a real coaching search in 25 years.
Yeah.
And what makes them think they're above it, and it just tells me Breer's not going to go all in like that, I don't think, unless people are looking sideways throughout the league at what the Patriots are doing and how much of a sham of a process this is. So I think Schefter, to a degree, Fowler and Graziano today, I think they're doing them a solid and saying, well, yeah, it's not a done deal and the door isn't closed. And yeah, Vrabel seems like the heavy favorite, but don't forget Bill Belichick was supposed to be the coach with the Jets. And don't forget Josh McDaniels was supposed to be the coach with the Indianapolis Colts. I think those are largely very different.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Now, do you think they end up even talking to Ben Johnson tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then do you think, how long do you have to wait to make it respectful to him? Or like, we interviewed Ben Johnson, we're hiring Mike Vrabel. Like, or do you like think about play out?
Here's my guess. Kraft is a league guy. I mean, he is the league, right? The owners are the league. And he's an influential owner. Maybe not as influential as he thinks. But he's not going to make an announcement in the middle of wild card games.
So Tuesday, if it's not tomorrow, it's Tuesday.
I mean, maybe Monday afternoon. Maybe there's a bit of a gray area there, but probably Tuesday.
Probably,
I agree.
Give the wild card weekend their time and
let it breathe. Yeah.
Don't pull an A-Rod.
I'm not going to upstage the playoffs like A-Rod exactly.
Yeah.
So probably Tuesday.
All right.
But I think they talked to Ben Johnson. I hope Aaron Glenn
gets an actual interview.
Well, no, I hope he says no to them.
He might.
You didn't ask me till Wednesday?
Yeah, he's busy.
And like, what? You want me to just show up to do your interview for what?
I don't know. Yeah, appearances, really.
Thank you. I don't have a real shot at the job. Screw you. You didn't ask me till Wednesday?
Yeah.
I'm not interviewing.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm gonna go interview in places that, you know, really want me. Not fake want me after the fact when you get a little blowback for your sham interviews earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that's what Glenn does. I have no idea. Unless I've missed it, Keith, and maybe I have. The reporting that I've seen is the Patriots have requested Aaron Glenn, but he has not. There's no timed interview, no schedule for it. It's Vrabel today. It's Johnson tomorrow. They already interviewed, in quotes, Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich, and that's it. That's the only known interviews for the Patriots thus far. Do you think anything of the Elliott Wolf situation, based on what I was reading there from Jeremy Fowler, that some seem to think Johnson could work with Elliott Wolf? Like, where's that coming from?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know, because they haven't even talked to Ben Johnson yet.
The Patriots haven't.
And so, unless it's one of those things that they've heard from Ben Johnson that he is open-minded about wherever he goes and like who's already employed type of thing, versus like, I'm only going if I bring so-and-so. So maybe that's what they sort of connect the dots that way. Because I don't think it's a done deal. You know, it's funny, the same thing in Jacksonville. Like, they're keeping Trent Baalke, but I think Shad Khan was even quoted as saying, like, well, depending on who we bring in here, like they're going to have a lot of say. Robert Kraft said both things, right? Robert Kraft said Elliott Wolf's back, but also the next head coach is going to pick his coaching staff and have a big say in players.
So, how do you read that, by the way? So contradicting himself. You think the first thing's true, or do you think the first thing was the talking point and then he let the truth out later?
Well,
I think the
second part, by being like Elliott Wolf is here, sort of like squashed those questions for now. Because the first one opened the door to like, so he's just kind of hanging out until the other guy shows up, which I think is kind of what it is. But he also doesn't know. Let's say Mike Vrabel's like, yeah, Elliott Wolf's fine. Then you keep him.
Yep.
But if Ben Johnson's like, I don't want him, he's like, okay, he's gone.
I want Ray Agnew and his kids.
So I think that might be it. I'll take all the Agnews.
You are going with a nepotism plan. I didn't realize that till right this second.
No, I'm not. Yes. I said Agnew's kid knows Saleh, so that's the connection to get him here to be the D coordinator.
Oh, you weren't actually bringing...
No, he can stay with the Jets. I'm just saying he could introduce him.
I thought you were actually bringing him. I'm sorry. No. That was just an introduction.
Yeah, just a scout.
Recap your plan again.
Ben Johnson as head coach, but then you want to surround him with experience. So Robert Saleh, D coordinator. Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator. I allow Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson's going to have to teach a new offense to this group, so help him out. Bring in Tanner Engstrand, who is the passing game coordinator with the Lions. Mm-hmm. He's now your offensive coordinator. Ray Agnew's your GM. And if Alex Van Pelt wants to stay and coach quarterbacks, great. He's earned that right. He may not want to. That's a step backward, so he might say, screw you, I'm going somewhere else, which is fine. But basically, it's you want to be the Detroit Lions East and sprinkle in Saleh and Rizzi. Rizzi actually overlapped with Ben Johnson in Miami, so there is a direct connection there. And then you kind of have everything. You have, like, the offensive genius play caller. You have an experienced D coordinator who also has head coaching experience, and even a special teams guy who has experience. There's also no Patriot guys, which I don't think Robert Kraft is going to do, but that's why it's my plan and not his plan.
Yeah, so I think your plan is more realistic than mine. I have them trading for Kevin O'Connell, which Jay Glazer said on Sunday multiple teams are doing, at least lining up, attempting to hammer that out. He might be doing work for O'Connell and his agent. O'Connell wants more money. Let it be known that he's in the final year of his deal, and teams are calling, and maybe that ratchets up the pressure on the Vikings. But coaches get traded. I think O'Connell would be worth trading for. I wouldn't give up the fourth overall pick this year. I don't think you're going to get him for a second or a third. I trade next year's first. But your plan is more realistic, Keith, for sure. Making it Detroit East, which I like.
And all those guys do seem to be available. Draft picks or anything like that.
It's just money for Ben Johnson's going to want a lot of money.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know that Robert Kraft wants to spend a lot of money.
How much more money would Ben Johnson cost than Mike Vrabel? $2 more million?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think Vrabel, it's all speculation, but do you think Vrabel would be like 8?
Nick or Billy?
Ben would say 10?
No. Weren't the reports last year that Ben Johnson wanted like 15 or 20? No.
He wanted 15 coming in last year.
Well, I mean, the price of milk has gone up significantly.
It's a good point.
So I don't blame him for asking for that.
I mean, in this,
especially if you get organic
in this economy,
over billion,
I get
$200 billion.
Yeah, so how much do you want?
Yeah. I want all that. I get it.
Yeah.
Does this scare you at all? We talked about this earlier. It's worth reiterating. Phil Perry had an interesting just little line about Ben Johnson and the uphill battle to get hired here in New England. Another sign that Vrabel, it's a sham and a done deal. I'm not saying that's what Phil said, but just reading between the lines. It's an uphill battle to get the job. He details how Vrabel played here and knows Kraft and blah, blah, blah. He says, in Ben Johnson, you have a coach with whom you've never worked, who's viewed as brilliant, but a bit of an introvert.
Oh, okay.
And so I just wonder if they're what does that mean? I don't know. I'm telling you, that's the full sentence. That's what he wrote. But what does that mean, and why would the Krafts have any hesitance or pause with that? I think they're worried about the outward-facing member of the organization. I mean, they're worried about Jerod Mayo stepping in it every week. They don't want this guy who maybe isn't comfortable with the media or comfortable in front of the players. They don't want that happening again.
It is funny, though, that is sort of a potential cause for concern, considering Jerod Mayo was supposed to be the opposite. Jerod Mayo was going to be like this open book, relatable. It was going to be an easy interview and all these things. And he was a mess. The guy was contradicting himself all the time and like everything else. And you're like, I'm sure he's a great guy, like, off microphone and all that other stuff. But it was just, that wasn't the desired effect. And, wins and losses are going to determine really how everybody views any of these coaches. Because you look around the league, the successful coaches don't all do it the same. The horrible coaches don't all do it the same. So if you win, you're going to be like, oh, that works for him. And but, if you're losing, you sort of pick it apart. But I don't think that should be a reason to not hire
but
this
no,
guy.
No, no, me either. But I wonder if it's a factor. And the difference to me in Mayo, you thought Mayo was going to be good at it. And he wasn't. If you're skeptical that this guy will be good at it and you thought Mayo would be and he was terrible at it, what's this guy going to be? And I don't know that it's like he's too shy or anything like that. Maybe he's just one of these play-calling nerds.
Yeah, yeah, could be.
You know, and like Mike McDaniel has, I think, kind of worked. It's not going in the right direction. I think that's worked. It's not a failure. But what if he is?
But like McVay, O'Connell, like those guys work.
What if he's the bozo with the Chargers? What was his name? Why can't I think of his name?
Brandon Staley?
Yeah, and he was a defensive guy.
Defense, yeah.
But I'm saying in terms of like explaining away the analytics and everything, what if he's one of those guys? And it just, he can't, he's justifying everything in numbers and it doesn't play well. What if that's the fear? So I still want Ben Johnson over Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'd lean O'Connell is O'Connell does it, and I know how
we've seen
it.
Yeah,
we've seen it, and it works. So those are our 60-second plans. They're up now on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow along at Jones and Keefe. We'll put you on the clock out there with your solutions. You're Robert Kraft. How do you fix the Patriots coaching staff and front office? You'll have 30 seconds to do so. Let's put Nick on Cape Cod on the clock. Go ahead, Nick.
What's up, boys? How you guys doing? Appreciate the time.
Yep.
I got a couple of recommendations. All right, want to see your guys' thoughts on three OCs to bring in with Braves. Clint Kubiak down in New Orleans, Cohen down in Tampa, or even like a Zach Robinson in Atlanta. And, yeah, just want to see what you guys' thoughts on that. I feel like I haven't heard those names, and it's the same McDaniels, same old stuff we've been doing.
Okay, so those are all – sorry, I didn't mean to jump the horn there. Those are all lateral moves for all those guys.
So
Clint Kubiak, I was begging for after 2 weeks in New Orleans last year.
It fizzled.
I probably jumped the gun on that one.
It fizzled. So I don't think you're going to get any lateral move guy, especially if they're under contract.
Yeah, well, and why would Liam Cohen, when he could maybe get a head job, why would he come here and be the OC?
So he probably will be a head coach, or, I mean, he's trending that way. Like, I think Jacksonville would be a good spot for him. The other guys probably won't be head coaches, but I think they're just going to stay where they are. You can't, and I don't even think you're allowed to do that. Right, like, oh, I'm taking this job. If like, assuming you're under contract,
yeah,
you're allowed
to
break contract
the title somehow.
Yeah, I guess you could technically throw like an assistant head coach on
Correct.
It. And they're like, oh, see, it's more. But no,
what was the other name he said? Kubiak, Cohen,
Zach Robinson.
Right. Zach Robinson is in Atlanta.
Another
no,
lateral move.
There.
And he turned you down last year. Kubiak interviewed here, I think. Right, Kubiak.
Kubiak did.
He did.
He interviewed here,
and Robinson interviewed here.
Yes,
and they both. Said no. And
yeah, Robinson was sort of a partner deal with Raheem Morris. I think that was going to be obvious. But, yeah, like, that is one of my hangups with Mike Vrabel, is who's his offensive coordinator going to be? And some of the names that have been tossed out there aren't great.
No.
Like, Josh McDaniels is probably the best name associated with Vrabel. And
no, Tommy Rees.
Tommy Rees, no thanks.
And
to be
Josh
fair, though,
McDaniels.
Arthur Smith was a good OC with him, and now he's a punchline. So the name doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be bad.
No. I mean, I guess...
Well, like, do you like those candidates? Add Arthur Smith to it. Arthur Smith, Josh McDaniels, Tommy Rees. Like, I don't like any of those guys.
Yeah, and Arthur Smith was... Again, not to, like, just pick holes in his entire career, but when he had Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards, he was great.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Vrabel, when he first got to Tennessee, the offense sucked, and then when he left Tennessee, the offense sucked.
Yeah.
In the middle there...
John who paid.
No, he did. In the middle... Yeah, from Bill. In the middle there, though, there was... couple of good years with the offense.
Well, and I think for 3 months, the Steelers' offense looked pretty good. They were figuring it out with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and then it nosedived at the end of the year. So that's admittedly a sour taste in my mouth.
Like, I think I'd rather take
Arthur
like
Smith.
Josh McCown over Tommy Rees.
I think McCown's a name to pay attention to.
Yeah.
We got a call about that earlier today. He was in Minnesota last year with Kevin O'Connell. As you pointed out, Keith, he coached Drake May in high school for a year. So I think that's a name to pay attention to with Vrabel. Ben Johnson, I don't think, would be bringing him in. But if it's Vrabel, that's another name to have on the list. And I'd probably feel I don't want McDaniels. But that name keeps coming up. Not wrong to mention it, caller. 617-779-7937. How would you feel about Josh McDaniels coming back with the New England Patriots for a third tour as offensive coordinator with Mike Vrabel? We'll get into it with all your phone calls and more of your 30-second plans next.
You know, to me, the big hiring is offensive coordinator. I think if I had to guess, and this is just a guess, I have no information on it. I think it'll be Josh McDaniels, but I really don't know. It's let me put it this way. It's unusually quiet on that front. And so that leads me to wonder, as I know McDaniels has a lot of interest around the league with different people as this hiring process goes through. But I don't know. To me, it makes too much sense.
Greg Bedard on his podcast discussing Josh McDaniels with Mike Vrabel makes too much sense. Who else has interest in Josh McDaniels? Josh McDaniels has a lot of interest throughout the league. Who else?
Are you counting North Carolina? The Tar Heels?
No, throughout the league.
Throughout the league? I don't see it. You know, I think...
Who else? He's got a lot of interest. I call bull crap on that. It's here or nothing for Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the connection would be. Like, who would he go team up with? He left Bill, what, three different times in his career and was horrible all three times? Right? He was a horrible head coach with Denver.
It was a three? Twice.
Horrible offensive coordinator with the Rams.
Well, yeah.
And
well,
a horrible coach with the Raiders.
But those were back-to-back, right? Denver and the Rams, I thought, were back-to-back.
Okay,
and then
he came here
after that.
He was in three franchises.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Besides the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And there's no level of success at any of them. The Rams are the worst offense ever. Denver got significantly worse. And he's probably not allowed back in Las Vegas. They hate him so much with the Raiders. But, you know, not to completely bury the guy, I was just talking up Robert Saleh as a D coordinator, or even the Matt Eberflus as a D coordinator. Josh McDaniels could be one of those guys. Awful head coach, maybe can still coach offense a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to.
However,
find out. I don't want to find out.
No, I know, I don't either. I think it's such a really kind of hire, like with Vrabel and McDaniels. You had this wide ranging search, and you landed on Vrabel and McDaniels. Also, McDaniels, it's Tom Brady, like. Yeah, you were really good with Tom Brady, but so was Charlie Weiss, and so was Bill O'Brien, and so was Bruce Arians, and like so was anybody who ever was with Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think you'll hear, well, he had a really good year with Mac, which I called this out in real time as Mac was a rookie. I'm like, Mac had a very overrated rookie year.
He had like two, three games.
It was really almost exactly what I just said about Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith, I'm like, well, I thought Pittsburgh had a pretty good offense for 3 months, and then it nosedived.
Clint Kubiak.
That was two games.
Yeah. So was Mac, kind of.
Okay.
They scored like 50 against Jacksonville, 50 against the Jets, and that kind of tipped the scales.
Go back and look at the final, I want to say five regular. There was one Jacksonville game where they blew him out. You're right, and it was late in the year. But go back and look at those final five games. Start with the Buffalo game, the win game, where they only let him throw three times.
Yeah, not a great sign.
The end of the year for Mac was miserable. And you can look at the numbers in his playoff game against Buffalo. The numbers look okay. I don't think he played well in that game at all. His soft arm hung up an interception on the opening drive, and it killed him. So I don't think Mac played well in that game. I don't think Mac played well down the stretch. So when you say Mac had a good rookie year and McDaniels got a good year out of Mac, I think you're overstating it. I do. And he also was here for Cam Newton. That
I think the reason why people say that, though, is we've seen Mac without McDaniels, and it was so much worse. That's why he gets like a little bit of credit. Like nobody, I don't think you should say that he was good that year, but when you see him with Patricia, you see him with Jacksonville, you see him with Bill O'Brien, it was worse.
That's fair. That's
the best thing he has going for.
There's all real evidence of that. Yeah. I think Mac was going to tail off in year two, no matter what. C.J. Stroud had a really good rookie year. He tailed off in year two.
Yep.
And Mac is nowhere near C.J. Stroud. So I think this was coming for Mac. Maybe McDaniels would have got more in year two and three out of Mac Jones, but no one was going to squeeze much out of him, I don't think. So there's that. There's also Josh McDaniels was Cam's offensive coordinator. Do we forget about that?
Good year.
Like everybody just blows past that. It's like, he's Brady. Doesn't even count. Anybody can coach Tom Brady. And people did before and after Josh McDaniels with equal and same amount of success, high level of success. With Tom Brady.
So the counter to that would
there be... There was also the Cam year. Yeah. So like good year with Mac, bad year with Cam.
So this would be the hope is like, all right, Cam Newton was washed. So you like that was more of a Cam. It's not like Cam went somewhere else and was good. Like Cam was done. This is what I'm saying. This would be the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'd be with Mac Jones, you had the sixth highest scoring offense. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of insane. So then I guess the hope would be, or what do you do with Drake May?
Yeah.
Like if Drake May is significantly better than both of those guys, you know, Cam at that point, and then just Mac in general, then maybe you can get more out of it. I think you told me it's Tommy Rees who's coaching the tight ends on the Cleveland Browns this year, or McDaniels, I'll take McDaniels.
Yeah, that might be my line too.
But I'm not thrilled with that.
If you told me it's Josh McCann or McDaniels or McCown,
I'd probably take McCown. I'd take the upshot.
I definitely would.
Yeah.
I definitely would. So. You know, what are some of the other names associated with Mike Vrabel if he's the guy? Graziano and Fowler had a note on this as well. It's not just Bedard saying it. One note on Vrabel. There is buzz in some coaching circles. McDaniels could be a prime candidate to be Vrabel's offensive coordinator. That would be quite the nostalgia tandem. And though McDaniels is a two-time failed head coach, no one disputes his coordinator chops. It would be good for May, but so would having Ben Johnson as his head coach. So that's
Is there any
Jeremy
pause
Fowler.
for McDaniels. Now, you want to coach in the league. You're really not that old of a human being, so like you want to keep coaching. And if that's the only job, then I think you probably take it. But what is it, the fourth? Or the third time coming back?
Third time coming back.
I don't know.
Well, yeah,
that's a lot.
A, and the Twitch chat pointed this out earlier, it's exceptionally uncreative by Robert Kraft.
Oh, it's the least creative thing.
And B, McDaniels would be crossing Bill. You pointed this out earlier. He'd
I know.
Be crossing Bill by coming back here.
It, yeah, like that is...
Now, I would if I were McDaniels. What's Bill going to get you going
forward? Is Bill getting you a job? No. First of all, like you're not going to be a head coach in the NFL ever again.
Bill can't get himself a job in the NFL. He's not getting you one, and you're right. McDaniels burned that bridge.
I think
as a head
you get
coach.
Two cracks at it, and you don't really get three unless there was like some success in one of the first two stops. But I think like he'll get another shot as an offensive coordinator. It's just a matter of where... Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe he still likes the area. Maybe he still lives here. I don't even know that. And maybe he'd be fine with it. And he'd be like, hey, like, I'm back in the league. I got Mike Vrabel. Like, well, you know, I got Drake May. I could see maybe, you know, you talk yourself into it that way. But you're like, wow, like a third time back?
Yeah. So would Josh take it? It's a good question. I don't really want him, but would he even take it and cross over his guy Bill Belichick? 617-779-7937. I don't know. He backed out of an agreement with the Colts. Something tells me he's going to look out for himself before everybody else. Sam is in the car. Go ahead, Sam.
All right. Well, here's the thing, guys. I think that Josh McDaniels, the only reason it makes any sense is because no other owner is going to touch that dude with a 10-foot freaking pole to be a head coach. So the problem with it is that if you have to fire Vrabel, then you fire, you know, McDaniels too. But my big hang-up is... if none of this is going to matter, if Elliott Wolf is in the press box trying to get cute and drafting Polk and Baker over McConkey every year, like, if we can't get the drafting right, none of this is going to matter. Thanks. Talk about it. You guys can talk about it off air. But
no, it's fair. Like, I don't know. Yeah, what is whatever your favorite coach combination is, if you keep drafting horrible players, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I'm more nervous about Wolf having a real role here than you are, and I'm more nervous about it with Vrabel than Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson would be a sign you're cleaning house.
Yeah.
Vrabel,
no.
I'm more fearful.
It's kind of more the same.
I am afraid of that. Nick or Billy, can you pot up Tony in Rhode Island? For some reason, I can't put him on. Tony in Rhode Island, go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so this is my input. I think that everybody seems to, you know, forget that none of these players that they have outside of a handful are worth anything in that team. They would never be number one or number two roles there. It's usually third or fourth, if that at best. Also, I don't think that if they get these coaches that they want, that they're going to be any good anytime soon.
Okay. So then they're
players suck. Team sucks. They're going to suck for a while.
Bad
Fair
players.
Enough.
Coach yeah. is going to take a long time. I mean, right. I mean,
loud
there's,
and clear.
There's a rebuild here, but Keith, it shouldn't take a long time. That's where I'll disagree.
That's
with
the
it.
Beauty of the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of times where you could turn around. You can go from worst to first, and you know maybe you're not competing with the Chiefs and the Bills right away, but you can be a playoff team after being bad.
Absolutely. You know, you look at Washington this year, you look at the Texans the year before.
Denver.
They were both drafting where you were. You know, they both had young quarterbacks. Like, you can do it in a year. Denver's another great one. So I think the Patriots are primed to do it. Not every situation is a great situation. You're taking over the Saints job. That's a team with cap issues as much as you can have them in the NFL, and you're locked in on a quarterback that I wouldn't necessarily want to build around. So not every job is the same. The Patriots are a good job to rebuild and rebuild quickly. Yeah, it's a bad situation right now, but they can rectify that quickly. And I would not say what he's saying, where they're still 2 or 3 years away. They should be competitive, 8, 9, 10 wins next year.
Again, not to get way ahead of ourselves, but they put out the schedule for next year, and you play all the dirtbag teams. Like, you should, even if you're just a little bit better, you could be 500 without much of a stretch. Really? And, you know,
I like calling them the dirt. We should call them the dirtbag teams.
It's
like
dirtbag teams. Yeah. It's all dirtbag teams. And if you win 9 games, you might not be a playoff team, but every game matters. You're not eliminated with a month or like a month and a half left in the season.
Yeah, I'm not demanding the playoffs next year. I am demanding being competitive, especially with that schedule. It's a good point by you. 617-779-7937. We'll take more of your 30-second coaching plans, and we'll get back to Bill and his future in the NFL. What was that story yesterday? And will he ever coach in the NFL again? That's next.